Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. One thing is receiving physical healing from the Lord, but notice that the Lord addresses the sin issue in many of His healings first. Your spiritual healing takes priority over your physical healing. Watch how Jesus responded when the paralytic was brought to Him. Four men lowered him through the roof after they broke through the tiles. Wanting physical healing, he got what he really needed. Let's listen and learn.
Because of the size and press of the crowd, these four men were able to get inside the house. They therefore dug a hole in Peter's roof. And I bet you he didn't like that. Amen. I don't want nobody tearing my roof up, amen, because it's going to cost me money to fix it. Yeah. They dug a hole in the roof of Peter and Andrew's house. Had to be a big hole. And they lowered this man, paralyzed man, down through it before the immediate presence of Jesus. Verse 5, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus saw the faith of these men in his ability, in his power. And they proved they had faith by going to the extreme measure of tearing up Peter's roof and lowering this paralyzed man before him. Jesus sees their faith. And then he specifically says to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." These were not the words this paralyzed man wanted to hear. He was there to be healed of his paralysis. He was there so he could walk again. He was there so he could get up and operate and function independently. He was there in order to get up off of that pallet or off of that bed and begin to walk and run again. He was there for a physical healing. But the Lord turns to him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It is apparent from Jesus' words, "Son, your sins are forgiven," that the Lord clearly knew this paralytic's primary problem. It was not his paralysis, but his sin issue. A sin issue that separated him from a relationship with the true and the living God. A sin problem which would ultimately consign this paralyzed man to an eternity in conscious torment and separation from God in hell. We know this to be the case because of the Greek mark used in recording Jesus' words. For when the Lord said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," this was forgiveness in the redemptive or the salvation sense. You see, Jesus' phrase, "Son, your sins are forgiven," in the Greek language is what we call an aorist present passive participle. Aorist means Jesus forgave this man's sin in the complete sense once and for all. In other words, all of this man's sins were forgiven, past sin, present sin, future sin. It was an aorist present tense. Present tense means he forgave him forever. Passive means this forgiveness was totally based upon Jesus. These men's faith and the faith of the paralyzed man, it was not the basis of them being forgiven, of him being forgiven. That was not the basis. The basis was Jesus.
Teach us.
Amen. Their faith was not the basis of their forgiveness. Therefore, his forgiveness was based upon Jesus, because in the Greek, it's passive. It means the paralyzed man played no part in being forgiven by the Lord. His forgiveness was dependent upon Jesus. This paralyzed man being forgiven of all of his sins once and for all and forever, it was conditioned on Jesus alone. Amen?
Yes.
To God the glory.
A lot of theology in this. Let me go through several points. Number one, God looks beyond the temporary needs in this world to the eternal needs. God looks beyond the temporal need to the eternal need. This does not mean God is not concerned about temporary needs, because he is. The evidence of this is in verses 11 through 12, he did heal this paralyzed man. But the evidence that God looks beyond the temporal need to the eternal need is the fact that when these four men lowered this paralyzed man before the Lord to be healed, the Lord did not first deal with this paralysis, but he first dealt with his sin. Amen? Why is this so? It is so because the sin issue has eternal damning consequences. While physical needs, they do create hardship, they do create pain, they do create suffering, but it is temporary, because every person will taste death, so save those who are alive when the Lord returns for his people, his bride, the church. Physical death brings an end to physical suffering. Physical death brings an end to physical suffering. But physical death does not negate eternal torment and suffering of the conscious soul and spirit in hell and outer darkness. If you got a hurt leg, and the moment you die, you ain't gonna have a hurting leg no more. Amen. But if you have an unredeemed soul, physical death will not stop that pain and that torture and all that entails encompasses being separated from God in the place Jesus called hell in outer darkness. Therefore, God looks beyond the temporal and he goes to the eternal. We need to understand this is what is significant to God.
Yes. Teach us.
He first dealt with this man's sin rather than his paralysis. Number two, forgiveness is only through Jesus. For just as this man's sins being forgiven was based on Jesus alone, so are the sins of those who are forgiven right now, and so will the sins of those who will be forgiven in the future. Forgiveness of sin, past sin, present sin, and future sin, it is based on Jesus alone. Being forgiven of all sin forever is based on Jesus alone. Forgiveness is totally based on Jesus' death on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. Colossians 1:13-14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Notice the text is clear that redemption and forgiveness is in and through Christ, for the text says, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. Our forgiveness of sins is in a whom. In whom we have what? Redemption and forgiveness and sins. In whom the forgiveness is in a whom. And the whom is none other than Jesus, the Son of God alone. Doubt and a lack of certainty that our sins have been forgiven. Past sin, present sin, future sin. Forever given of sin. It is rooted and grounded in the fact that we struggle with the biblical truth that the basis of forgiveness is Jesus alone. We think the basis of forgiveness is ourselves.
That's true. Come on, correct us.
Many still believe forgiveness is based on what you do or do not do, and you being sinless. Something no human has ever done. When you think forgiveness is rooted in you, there'll always be uncertainty in the fact that you have been totally forgiven of all of your sins. The reason why many true believers struggle with this is they haven't been taught concerning the truth that our forgiveness, it is conditioned on Jesus alone. Amen?
Amen.
So many Christians need to pray and ask God to give them the ability to trust in the fact that the basis of their forgiveness is Jesus Christ alone. Yes. The basis of my forgiveness, it is not me, it is the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The basis of me, of God being pleased with me is not me, because he'd never be pleased with me because I'm messed up.
Yes.
The basis is the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to understand. Let me slow down. We need to understand that the means of forgiveness and the basis of forgiveness are not the same. The means or mechanism that gives us access to the forgiveness that is in Christ alone is faith. And even that is a gift from God.
Yes.
You didn't work up some faith. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is the means. But the basis of forgiveness is Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ's substitutionary sacrifice of himself on the cross in our behalf is the atonement, the covering for all of our sin. Are you with me today?
Yes.
The substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross covers all sin, including past sin, present sin, future sin, and being forgiven forever. That is significant. Why? I'll tell you why. A lot of folks believe you get saved and God wipes the slate clean, but then he starts another slate. And then what you don't do or don't do between that time and when you die determines whether you're going, and they use this term, make it in. They think when you get saved, God wipes the slate clean, and then you start all over and you hold on, hold out, running, trying to make 100, 99 and a half won't do, climbing up the rough side of the mountain, doing my best to make it in. The reason I pray so hard, I don't want to be lost on the judgment day. That's error. The basis of forgiveness is Jesus. And the forgiveness encompasses this. You have been forgiven once and for all of every sin. Past sin, present sin, any sin to come. It doesn't stop there. Now he's also forgiven you forever of all sin. Amen. And the basis of this forgiveness is Jesus Christ alone. Amen. If one is true, number three, if one has truly embraced Christ as Savior, where am I at with time? If one has truly embraced the gospel, what is that? Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he bodily rose from the dead on the third day, and thus he's paid up our sin debt in full.
Amen.
If one has truly embraced Christ as Savior, truly embraced the gospel, all sin has been forgiven once and for all. Just as Jesus forgave this paralytic man once and for all. Our sins have been forgiven forever. Forever is present tense, meaning it never stops. Just as Jesus forgave this paralyzed man of his sins forever. In the context of redemption or spending eternity with God, our sins through the atoning blood Jesus shed on the cross are totally eradicated as far as our position before God is concerned. If you have truly embraced the gospel, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, get this. If you have truly embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ, your sin ledger in heaven is a blank sheet of paper. There is nothing on it. Because you have been forgiven one time and forever. And the basis is not you, but it is the Son of God on Calvary's cross. Amen? Difficult for many to believe because of bad teaching or no teaching. But we need to get this thing straight and cut out all of these sorry, unbiblical, erroneous, don't get nobody nowhere testimonies. I wonder if he made it in. I hope he knew that before he died. Amen. I knew I made it in the moment I said yes to the Lord. Amen. On the cross, Jesus said it is finished. When I come to him, guess what? It's finished. Amen. Verse 6-7. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? When some of the scribes who were present heard Jesus say to this paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven, they began reasoning in their hearts, well, this dude is blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. These scribes were extremely learned men in all of the subtle nuances of the biblical languages, including their native Aramaic tongue. They clearly understood when Jesus forgave this man, he forgave him in the redemptive sense. They understood the Lord was saying, you are forgiven forever. They got it. Now, as believers, we don't get it, but these sinners got it. Amen. They clearly understood that their Old Testament said only God can do this. For example, Isaiah 43:25, God says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. You missed that. God says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgression, not for your sake, but for my sake. In other words, I'm doing this for myself. And I will not remember your sins. Let me read it again. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And God says, and I will not remember your sins. In these scribes' mind, they really believed Jesus was blaspheming because he was claiming to do something only God can do. In a sense, the scribes were correct because only God can forgive sins. But they did not recognize who Jesus was. He was truly man, truly sinless man, and truly God, equal with the Father in every attribute of God, including the sole right to forgive sins. Also, they were right in their reasoning that it is blasphemy for anyone to claim to be able to forgive sins in the salvation sense except God. Let me deal with this. And I'm going to be real plain here. No priest in the confessional can absolve you from sin. Amen. No priest in the confessional can forgive you of your sins. No priest in the confessional can remit your sins. Why? Forgiveness of sin is the prerogative of God alone.
Amen.
No anointed bishop can absolve you from sin. No so-called master broker that we're hearing about today can absolve you of your sins. No modern day prophet or apostle can absolve you or cleanse you from your sin. Why? This is the prerogative of God alone. They were right. Only God can forgive sins. No church can forgive you or absolve you or remit your sin because this is the prerogative of God alone. As far as it being blasphemy, they were right. Anyone who claims to be able to forgive sins, you're blaspheming. Because this is a prerogative of God alone. I really don't understand why those who claim to be reeking with the power of the Holy Ghost are not convicted by the Holy Ghost when they are blaspheming. I make no apologies. I just do not believe a person who truly knows God can claim to do what only God can do and God the Holy Spirit not let them know they are blaspheming God. I don't understand why God won't let me get away with a little lie but not inform the other guy. By the way, you're blaspheming God. I've heard many excuses for this behavior, but I'm not convinced by any of these from a biblical lucid argument. I truly believe why men and women can publicly blaspheme and not bat an eye and not have a shred of conviction from the Holy Spirit is because they really do not know Jesus as Savior. Amen. If your eternal destiny is hinging on the words of the prophet, I think you're in trouble. If it's dependent on somebody absolving you, I think you're in trouble. Only God can forgive sins. And it is based on your relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. 8-9, I'm almost through. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? The Lord immediately knew in his spirit, his inner man, that the Pharisees and scribes were there saying, well, why is this man doing this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? This man is blaspheming. So the Lord turns to these same men and says, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, pick up your pallet, and walk? The Lord was really messing with the minds of these scribes. He was really taking a poke at them. Why? Because the question Jesus asked, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or pick up your pallet, pick up your banner law? The reason why I gotcha question is because neither could be accurately answered by these scribes. He asked him something that's impossible for men to do. Men can't forgive sins, and no man can heal a paralyzed man. So he's asking them a question that they can't answer. One is no harder or easier than the other, because man can do neither. But for Jesus, neither was more difficult or easier than the other, because for Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, both were just as easy. Why? Because he was the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man, truly God, truly sinless man. So now he's going to prove it in verse 10 through 11, that both are just as easy to me. Now, you guys can't do either one of them. That's what he's saying. You guys can't do nothing. You got your long robe on. You're wearing scriptures all plastered on. You know, they wore these phylacteries, big box with scriptures taped on your head, scriptures all on their bodies, man. And when they fasted, they had oil running all down the face, running all down the beard, looking all ugly and sad, letting everybody know, I'm fasting for the Lord my God. They prayed long public prayers at the wall. And the Lord is saying, you guys can't do anything. You can't give this man back his legs, and you can't forgive this man of his sins. But he says in verse 11, now I'm going to prove to you that as a son of man, I have authority on earth to forgive sins. Verse 10, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet. Didn't nobody have to teach him how to walk? Didn't nobody say, you got to now say, baby? You know, folks get healed today of being deaf and dumb. You got to teach them, bye, 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 say, bye, bye. No, when Jesus healed folks, they just start, Bible said, they start speaking plainly. No, this man, he didn't have to go to therapy. Amen. He picked up his pallet and he went home. Jesus was proving to them through this miracle that he was the Son of Man, and he had the authority to forgive sin. When Jesus said the Son of Man, that title was related to Daniel 7:13-14, where Daniel describes a person. He says he looked like the Son of Man. He was equal to God, and he ruled over everything else equally with God. Jesus, by using this title, Son of Man, he was identifying himself as one in essence and substance with the God of the Old Testament. Amen. He was letting the scribes know, I am God incarnate in human flesh. And to prove to you that's who I am. Amen. Paralyzed from the neck down. They had to let you through a roof in the hole. I say to you, pick up your pallet, pick up your pad, and go home. And immediately the man got up, picked up his pallet. And there's a reason for that. He was now able to walk and also use his hands. He didn't do a halfway job. He didn't stop from the waist. He didn't say Jesus healed him from the waist down. He now had everything. The miracle was the proof that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. And he can do what he said he did. And that is, he is a forgiver of all sin. The sign of healing this paralyzed man proved Jesus had the power to forgive sins. And since only God could and can forgive sins, the only conclusion was and is Jesus was truly who he claimed to be. And he truly does for us what he claimed he could. He is the Son of Man, Son of God, perfect man, perfect God. He forgives us of all of our sins once and for all and forever. And this forgiveness is totally dependent upon him, his person, and his redemptive work on the cross, his burial, and his bodily resurrection from the dead. That is my basis for me saying, at this point in my life, right now where I stand, even though I'm not in heaven, I'm just as good as being there. Because my forgiveness is not in me. It's not in anything I've ever done and can ever do. I told my wife this week, we had a conversation. I said, you know, sometimes, you know, people just want the pastor to be there. And I get it. But I said, I don't know why they're doing that. I'm just as messed up as everybody else. Amen. So I know it's not me. The basis of my forgiveness is Jesus. Yes. His cross, his blood, his death, his burial, his bodily resurrection from the dead. God can never say no to that. God can never say that is not enough. You also now got to run and try to make 100 cut, 99 and a half won't do. No, that is enough and it is sufficient for the Father. Yes. I'm totally forgiven of everything in Jesus. My slate in heaven, as far as my salvation is concerned, is a blank sheet of paper. And every time Satan comes before God, as the Bible says he does, and accuses the brother, only thing God shows him is a blank sheet of paper. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Because the slate has been wiped clean forever. I'm done. I'm done. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God, Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you want to know more about the church, Sunday morning worship time, or Bible study, visit wocc.org. May the Lord guide you throughout your day.